Let's turn then to our reading, 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll include as our text the very first verse of chapter 6. So chapter 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So let's take stock then. We saw this morning that our Bibles have two creation stories. There's the creation of the physical universe, as we have it in Genesis and the first chapter. Then there's the story of the creation of the spiritual universe, or if you like, the universe of grace, which we find in the New Testament. And this morning we were making parallels between the two. So in both creation accounts you have the idea of darkness. Genesis 1, there is darkness everywhere. And then in the New Testament you have the idea of darkness in the hearts of men and women. A spiritual, moral darkness. And then in Genesis 1, you have the idea of light. God speaks, and there is light. And then in the creation story in the New Testament, the spiritual creation, you have the idea of the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A light that shines in the hearts of men and women. God speaks in the creation account in Genesis. God speaks directly. He speaks and he creates. And then in the New Testament, it is the word of God has spoken by preachers and teachers that brings about God's creative work. So there's the physical creation, and then there is the spiritual creation, the creation of grace. And so as you look at chapter 5, you have this idea in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So God is doing the work of new creation. And Christians are part of that new creation that God is at work doing. Old things have passed. So that's a reference to the life in the first creation, if you like. Behold, all things have become new. So if we're Christians then, we are the result of this new creative work of God. And we are part of the new creation that God is bringing about. And as we know, one day the old will completely pass away and there will be new heavens and a new earth. So this morning then, we were looking at how the Apostle Paul preaches, and he said this morning, do you remember, that preachers are just ordinary clay pots, nothing special about the preacher. He is just like anyone else, but he preaches in order to minister the grace of God. So preaching is that moment when God's grace is poured out and reaches out to those who are in the new creation. And the preacher is always trying to bring change. So verse 17 from chapter 4, he is first of all trying to show Christians how to live in the here and now and how not to look at things that are seen. Now we're going to continue that idea this evening. In chapter 5, we are first of all going to look at how the preacher seeks to bring knowledge to Christian men and women. So from verse 1 to verse 5 of chapter 5, you have the idea of knowledge. So any preacher up the front teaching the word of God, he is aiming to increase and strengthen the knowledge of those in front of him. So let's take a look at knowledge. And then the second thing we'll do is this. If you look at verses 6 and 8, you have the idea of confidence. So if you like, the aim of ministry is to help us to live confidently. And the preacher here, Paul, spells out how we are to live confidently. And then the last thing I want us to do tonight is go to the end of the chapter and just take a look from verse 18 to the end. Before I introduce what Paul is doing here at the end of the chapter, I want you to go back to the account of the first creation. Now, you can look up if you want in your Bibles, but do you remember when God made Adam and everything was good? God gave Adam a job to do. So before Adam ate the fruit of the tree, before he fell, before the sin of Adam and Eve, Adam had a job. And his work was based on God's work. Now what Paul is doing from verse 18 to the end of this chapter, he is saying that just as Adam had a work to do based on God's work, he, Paul, every preacher, but every Christian also has a work to do in this new creation. So just think about this for a second. The work that Adam did was exactly the work that God had done. So God had dominion and God created. And then Adam had dominion and Adam named. Now that's the idea at the end of chapter 5. And I know sometimes a sermon is a lot to remember, and I guess if I were to ask you to remember one thing from this evening, it's what Paul spells out at the end of the chapter here. God's work in the new creation is a work of reconciliation. Isn't that clear? Verse 18, verse 19, this word keeps reappearing. It's at the end of verse 18, God has given us the work of reconciliation. Verse 19, the word appears twice. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then at the end of verse 19, he has committed to us the work of reconciliation. And then verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, and there it is again, be reconciled to God. Now that's what I want us to remember. The new creation is a work of reconciliation. God reconciling to himself men and women. And we are to join in that work just as Adam joined in his work in Genesis 2. So when we come to that bit of the sermon, I'm going to slow it down and I'm going to spell it out. What it means to join in with God in the work of reconciliation. Well, let's ask God then to help us to understand his word. Lord our God, we thank you then that we are able once again to listen to your word, a word of grace. Lord, we thank you that we are able to increase our knowledge as a result of being here this evening. Lord, we were surprised perhaps to learn that there are two creation stories in the Bible, the physical world and then this spiritual creation, this new creation, this creation of grace through Christ, which will last for all eternity. Lord, as we turn to your word, Speak to us, help us, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we said this morning, didn't we, that, and you know as well as I do, that it's a holiday period. David has put it in the notice sheet, that many are on holiday, and perhaps more are away today, for one reason or another, than any other Sunday of the year. So holidays are very much in our minds. And for many people, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians is known as the holiday chapter, because Paul is using the idea throughout this chapter of being away from home. And what Paul does, and I think he does it very cleverly, from verse 1 to the end of verse 8, is he plays with the idea of being at home and being away from home. And the word being away from home can be used for holidays. So let's keep that in mind as we explore these verses. Now, of course, in the world of the Apostle Paul, there was no such thing as a holiday in the way that we know it. But people would travel away for business, or people would be taken away from their homes if they were made slaves, and so on. So the idea is, you have a home, and then you can be away from home. So, first of all then, in our preaching, we are to give the knowledge to, if you like, impart the knowledge that as we live now, we are living away from home. You and I, as Christian people, we are away, absent from our homes. Our home is in heaven. Our home is the New Jerusalem. We are citizens of heaven. So that's our home. Now, we are away from home, absent. And as you look in verse 1, Paul has the idea that we are living in a temporary residence. So we're away from home. So if you like, what the translators do in verse 1 is they use the idea of a tent. So we are living at the present time in a tent. Now, the actual Greek doesn't mean tent. It means a temporary home. So if we bring it up to date, you could think of it as a caravan. You could think of it as a holiday flat. Doesn't matter how you think of it. The idea is, in this present time, we are living in temporary accommodation. We are away from home. And as you look at verse 1, Paul says there very clearly, for we know. So this knowledge that the Apostle Paul has, and this knowledge that has informed his preaching, the Christians at Corinth have learned the lesson. We are living in temporary quarters. And then as you look from verse 1 down to verse 4, what Paul does is he builds on that idea, and he's telling us that this temporary dwelling that we are now in, we are going to reach a point where we pack everything up and we take our leave. So those who are on holiday this week, by about Friday, they're going to start packing to come home. And that's the idea, that here we live in a temporary dwelling, and we will reach the point where we will pack everything up and we will return home. That's the idea of these opening four verses. So however tough it is right now, however hard going it is, wherever we may be, and let's use the idea of Paul, wherever we may be on holiday, it's only temporary. And there will be a point where everything will be packed away and we will go to our permanent home. Now, as you look at verses 2, 3, and 4, Paul takes this a step further. And he's saying what to us may feel very strange. He's saying that for him, and perhaps his generation, when they were away from home, they longed to go back. Now, you and I may feel the opposite. When we go on holiday, we may dread going back because we want to be on holiday. Now, it's the opposite here in these verses. If Paul is away from home, or if his readership are away from home, the longing is to get back to where your home is. And so verse 2, we groan. So imagine a slave away from home. Imagine a businessman away from home. Their heart is in their home, and they long to be home where they belong. Now, he then adds something very important in verse 4. And what he says in verse 4 is this. When you're away from home, you don't pack up early and go back. Now, when our children were younger, we had a few holidays in which we did just that. We would holiday somewhere in Wales, and it would rain all day. And a bit like today, it would brighten up about 7 o'clock in the evening. But of course, when our children were younger, they'd be in bed, and that would be it. We couldn't go anywhere because they were sleeping soundly in bed. And on one occasion, we decided to come home early because of the weather. Now, it's the opposite here in these verses. Paul is saying, when you're away from home, you don't pack up early. You stay there for the allotted time. And then when the right time comes, you come home again. Look at verse 4. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, not because we want to pack up early, but because we want to be further clothed, we want to be back in our heavenly home. So, knowledge. So, tonight now, as we listen to the Word of God, hopefully, we are learning that right now, you and I are living away from home. And we may have been living away from home for 70 years, 80 years, but we are away from home, and we are going to be away from home for as long as God decides, but there will come a time when we will pack everything away and we will go to our heavenly home and we will put on immortality. We can't pack up early. There is no returning a day early or a few days early because the weather is bad. We stay until the right time. And then we'll go home. Verses 1 through to 4 or 5. So that's the knowledge then that we have as a result of the ministry of grace. Then take a look at verses 6 and 8. Because the second point to make this evening is that ministry is designed to give us confidence. And this word confidence is very important in verse 6 and it's in verse 8, but it's also in chapter 7, it's in chapter 10. It's a word that occurs again and again in this particular letter. Confidence. Now, what does it mean? The word can mean being cheerful, the word can also mean courage. So, if you like, in the new creation, this work that God is doing, we are currently living in temporary accommodation. The new creation work is a work that God is in the midst of doing. It's not complete, like in Genesis. It's an ongoing work. And so what Paul wants is courage, confidence in the heart of every Christian. So look at these two verses then. I'm sure you know them very well. Verse 6. For we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And then verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So the aim is, don't forget, the aim is to be cheerful, courageous, whether you're on holiday or whether you're at home. And in a way that I can't really put across in a sermon, Paul uses two words that belong together. In the body, with the Lord. He puts those together so that they are a bit like, I guess, that the closest I could get to is like a seesaw or a pair of scales. In the body, with the Lord. They belong together. And they, if you like, they work together in the original language. So the idea is this. If you and I are on holiday in this world, live cheerfully, says Paul. Live with courage, says Paul. Live with confidence. That's the message of the Apostle Paul. Because if you are on holiday, then there's someone who's on holiday with you. Now, we get asked, I think somebody asked me this morning, about my holiday. And we're going in a few weeks' time. And one or two people asked me this morning, well, who's going with you? Are all the children going with you? Well, the idea of confidence is this. We're on holiday here in this world, and there's someone with us. And the one who is with us is the Lord himself. Because he too left home. He too came into this world. He lived in this world, away from home, in a temporary dwelling. And you remember John in his gospel uses this exact word. John says, we beheld his glory. John says, the word became flesh. And do you remember the next bit? And dwelt among us. Dwelt means a temporary dwelling. So the Word, the Son of God, he came, if you like, to this destination. And he lived here. And he experienced it. And his tent was pitched among us. And he went to the cross and died for our sins. So because he has been to this very destination, he's walked the very streets that we walk in, if you like. He's been here himself. If we are away from home in the here and now, we can be confident, we can have courage, we can be cheerful, because we're not on our own. He is here with us. And he's here with us, dare I say it, on holiday, if you like, knowing what it's like, having been here himself, having experienced it all. And then what Paul does in verse 8 is this. So, you're here now, if you like, away from home, and the Lord is with you. And then you'll be with the Lord at home. So whether you're here, away from home, or you're at home, you will have the Lord with you. And because he is with you, you can live cheerfully, you can live confidently, you can have courage. And even if you're at home in the body, and that's a little play on this idea, if you like, that we are having of home and away from home. Wherever you are, the Lord himself is with you. And so, confidence. Well, time is going then, and we want one more thing to say. So, let me sum it up then. We live with knowledge, we're away from home, we're as here for as long as it takes, but there'll come a time when we'll pack everything away and we'll go back home. And whilst we live here, away from home, we can live confidently because the Lord, who also went away from home, is here with us. And then when our time comes to go home again, we'll be with him. Let's look at the end of the chapter. So, at the end, you've got this idea of reconciliation. So, again, to make it clear, go back to Genesis, and you've got the work of physical creation. God spoke. And by the word of his power, the heavens were created, the earth was formed, the land and the sea divided, there were animals and birds and flowers of all kind, and man created. Now that's the work of the first creation. The work of God through his son Jesus Christ, a work of creation, a physical work. And then you come to the second creation, verse 18. This new creation that the New Testament teaches us. This is a work of God himself through his son Jesus Christ, just like the first creation. But this new creation is a work of reconciliation. If the first, if you like, was a work of power, this new creation is a work of reconciliation. Through Christ, God is drawing men and women to himself. God is reaching out to the darkness in the hearts of men and women. And by the light of the gospel, God is drawing men and women out of that darkness, giving them faith in Christ, and then making them new creatures, part of a new creation. That's God's work. So can you see verse 19? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, dealing with sin. And again he says, he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. So here we'll end. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This isn't an appeal to become Christians, because they're already Christians. This is the work of pulling together and not pulling apart. The word reconciliation means to pull someone towards you. They're going away from you. And so you reach out to them and you draw them back to yourself. It is God who is reaching out to men and women through Christ, drawing men and women back to himself, reconciling them to himself. And what Paul is pleading here for is that the church looks at how they can pull together and not look at what drives them apart. And I said earlier, forget everything else if you want, but remember this. We are not to focus on the differences between us. Some are young, some are old, some talk about their health all day, others never mention it. Some like this meeting, some like the other meeting. We focus on the differences between us. And sometimes we can talk about the things that annoy us about each other. What Paul is pleading with you is that we pull together. Now, I'm not talking, and I know some of you are going to misunderstand me completely. I want you to think a little bit more cleverly than sometimes you do. I'm not suggesting that there are any problems among us. What I'm saying is we can be irritated sometimes. We can be annoyed. There can be small grievances. We can look around and disapprove of how we behave before a service. What this message is, don't look at those things that are different. You may not do it, but somebody else does. Don't look at that. Don't get hung up by that. What Paul pleads with you is that we work with God. Just like Adam in Genesis 2 worked with God to name the animals. He had dominion over creation. He continued that work of creation before he fell. We have also been given a task in this new creation to work with God, to work alongside God as he builds a new creation. And working alongside God means pulling together, not pushing away and saying, I'm not like that, and I don't want that, and I won't go there, and I won't do that. It's not the differences that are between us. In the new creation, the call is to join this work of reconciliation. And so Paul pleads with the church. Now, if you're very good at listening, you'll remember what we said about the church. This church didn't like Paul much. This church preferred Apollos, and they thought that somebody else was a better preacher, and some of them didn't like any preachers. They thought all preachers were terrible. Here is Paul pleading with the church to work together, to be reconciled, to hold in common, to have common ground, to find that common ground with those in the church who may be younger than you or older than you or different to you. Find that common ground where you can come together in the new creation. So you may never do some things. Big deal. It doesn't matter if you'll never do it. It's about finding ground with those in the congregation who are new creatures like you. So find that common ground with them. Meet them on that common ground and work together. And that's why our text is chapter 6 and verse 1. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. If we still talk about the differences and separate off and refuse to have any real connections with each other, then the grace of God is in vain. God is working for reconciliation. Let's work with him and let's join in this great work of God for his glory. Well, let's turn